We return to Ragtime. This is The Supper Club by Harry Carroll.
Look at me, I'm dancing.
You are.
I'm dancing to this.
Wait, you're doing the shoulder thing where your shoulders go up and down, but the rest of you stays put?
I dance like I'm a puppet. It's like a puppet dance.
Yes, you are, like a marionette.
Yeah.
This is 100 Years Ago This Week, the 1917 podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Ryan. Joining me as always is Vinny Nardiello.
Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy. We play a little bit of music for you every week. This is from 1917, played by a computer, interestingly enough.
Is it like a player piano, or is it like an actual computer sitting at a piano?
I think there's a computer version of a player piano, but a player piano, I guess, is kind of like a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. However you define computer, if you define it the wrong way, player piano then counts as a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to think, oh, shoot, I'm wrong, and redo your calculus to figure out how to define a computer.
If you were wealthy, would you, and you're like, say you had a lot of space, would you get a player piano?
No. I don't want a player piano.
Why wouldn't you?
I want a real piano.
Yeah, but you don't play.
No.
Who's going to play that piano?
No, but...
You think having money suddenly makes you have, like, ability to play piano?
But why not just listen to music? There's CDs, you can download MP3s, there's lots of ways of getting music other than an entire piano that you just have an invisible ghost play.
No, then you relax. You relax in your large study, sip on a cognac... Maybe, you know, throw a log on a fire.
I will admit...
Throw a maid on the fire. And
it was very nice in Westworld to see the player piano every week. That was very cozy.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the big news stories this week is Pancho Villa. He was a Mexican revolutionary, and U.S. forces sent people down to kill Pancho Villa, or at least to find him, and they couldn't. Because the Mexican people were not cooperating. They would go into a town and ask, hey, where's Pancho Villa? And they would say, I don't speak English.
Did they like Pancho Villa?
Oh, yeah. He was like the Che Guevara of his day.
Mm-hmm.
I bet when Che Guevara was around, they said, that guy, he's like Pancho Villa.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, and people were wearing like Pancho Villa t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in the 60s would say, hey, you don't understand what that means. Pancho Villa did a lot of bad things. You can't just wear that t-shirt and think it's cool.
I think people really need to stop wearing their Che Guevara shirt. Not because I'm even, like, you know, going to say, like, oh, they don't even know what it means. More that is become, like, a very easy argument.
Yeah.
That people use to, like, discount all progressive arguments. Like, liberals, there's no liberal argument that matters, no progressive argument that matters. Because there's some dude wearing a Che Guevara shirt somewhere in Williamsburg.
Right.
Therefore, everyone is just a jerk off who believes this.
It's like he's made an entire side of an argument into a straw man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another big event going on this week is the unrestricted warfare of U-boats. U-boats are, of course...
submarines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're German submarines. I was pausing because I was trying to remember the word.
I was trying to, you forgot the word submarine?
No, I forgot the German word that was so long that even Germans said, you know what, we're just going to say U. We're just going to say
U. Oh, start with a U?
Yeah, that's why it was called the U-boat.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you know why I thought, all right, here's, somebody told me, this isn't me coming up with it in my mind.
Okay.
I remember a teacher I had told me why it was called the U-boat. It was because the submarine's on the surface.
Uh-huh.
It goes down. Goes forward, comes back up, making a U.
That's wrong. I mean, it does conceivably make a U.
That's what my teacher told me. So all this time, I thought that, like, oh, I know something. And I probably repeated this to somebody who went, what a fucking idiot.
as dumb as that is, it is not as dumb as the German word, Unterseeboot, which literally means undersea boat.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it. Undersea boat. Undersea boat.
German's like a language you kind of figure out what they're saying.
Yeah. If you have it written down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can kind of guess.
Yeah, a lot of compound words.
I'm really pissed about this U-boat thing, by the way.
I'm sorry that you have been misled all these years.
Yeah, and I know, I guarantee you I've told other people this.
Oh, I hate that feeling. I can't remember the specifics, but there was one or two things that I was very confident in that I told people about. Then I found out I was wrong, and I just felt like such a schlemiel.
Yeah. The idea that, like, people... Because it's like, you know, some of the people that you told knew better.
Right. And I've been on the other side of it where someone had said something blatantly untrue. Like, oh, yeah, Ghostbusters 3, best movie of them all. It's like, there's no Ghostbusters 3. Eddie Murphy is not in Ghostbusters 3. There is no Ghostbusters 3. But I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and I'm going to IMDb it at home just to make sure there wasn't a Ghostbusters 3.
I think in the future I'm going to give people like the benefit of the doubt that maybe it's not their fault. Maybe somebody they trusted, like a teacher.
Right.
Told them this.
Wait, have you told your students this?
I don't think so.
You're not going to start calling them up. Hey, it's Mr. Nardiello. I taught you 12 years ago. Yeah. I told you something wrong. Sorry. I like that I subconsciously started to do you.
And is that me?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
It wasn't really you. It was just a voice of like a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm doing a voice of a man, I have to change my voice to be like... to sound more like that.
Yeah, or my daughter always does an impression of me.
What's her impression of you?
I'm dirty, like that kind of voice.
Oh, okay.
And then she does mommy. Her mommy voice is higher than her own voice. So, like, she just, like, it's like then she's like, hey, I'm mom. And I'm like, there's, like, your mommy's voice is still deeper than yours.
I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I've heard a lot of female narrators do male voices. And I realized it was his moment of clarity that a lot of them sound like George Takei.
Really?
Yes. It's a very specific George Takei accent.
They go, yes, kind of.
Yes. Yeah, the same way, like, I don't have a deep voice, but I'm going to put on a deep voice, and I'm going to talk a little slower and enunciate a little more, which I did not do in saying the word enunciate.
Not at all, actually.
Enunciate.
I wasn't sure where you're going from here.
This was the week in 1917 that Germany declared unrestricted submarine warfare on the Allied side, which was France and Britain, and people helping France and Britain. America counts as one of those countries.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lusitania was sunk in 1915 over something that was not unrestricted sub-warfare, but that's what got England into the war, I believe. I read a book about this called Dead Weight just last year, and now I feel like if I get anything wrong, I shouldn't have even bothered reading the book, because it was only 1 year ago and I should have retention of the basic facts, like the book jacket flap copy.
This sounds like one of those books that you read to say you read. And
it's not quite a book I read.
There are books like that. Like, you want to tell people, I read a book about...
Oh, absolutely.
The sinking of Lusitania.
Yeah.
Like, I want people to know that.
That's
like, I'm not some dummy. I'm not out there reading your, like Angels and Demons. All right. I'm reading stuff about the sinking of Lusitania. That's how smart I am.
Yeah. My peculiar thing is I feel like I need to read these books. I may not want to read them. I may not enjoy reading them, but I feel like I have to. It's like a social obligation. It's part of the contract of living in the Western world that there's a certain number of books every year that you should read. You should check them out.
Well, you read a lot more than I do, and I don't know how you find time to read because you have two kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember their names, but I've read a lot of books this year already.
You're a terrible father. That's how you do it. No, you read a book a day for a year.
Yeah, I still am.
You're still doing that?
Yeah, 5 years later.
You read a book a day?
Yeah.
What'd you read today?
It doesn't work that I begin and finish a book every day. I'm reading bits and pieces of a lot of books, and over the year, they average out. So I
think you're cheating. That's cheating.
I was reading some of the Theodore Roosevelt biography. I was listening to a book about the Pacific and World War II. On the drive back home, I listened to a mystery novel, like 40 Minutes of Mystery. Yes.
I remember when you had your blog about this,
mm-hmm.
People would often tell you, like, they were angry that you were doing this. You would get all right. You get all of anger from people.
Right. Partly it was the, like, there has to be a trick. And then I would say, well, I count graphic novels as books, which are, you put five comic books together and you call it a book.
Yeah.
That's not exactly Ulysses. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But if it's bound and someone is charging $20 for it, I'm going to consider it a book.
All right. But the book on tape was the thing people really got on you about.
Yeah, but See, I don't think they should, because it takes me longer to listen to a book on tape than to read a book.
Mm-hmm.
A 300-page book may take me 9 hours to listen to, but I can get through that thing in 5 or 6 hours.
So you do 365 books a year?
Yes.
And what's tomorrow's book?
I don't know. That's not the way it works. I'm going through many of them at the same time.
What's your annual book budget?
Oh, it's absurdly low, because the rate I'm reading, I need to go to the library to read them. And once you're at the library, everything is free. And he's like,
you're smart? You said library and not library. That's how smart you are.
I was just about to say that I was getting a lot of DVDs at the library, which negates any of the whole, like, you can't look smart when you're taking out Ponyo for the 9th time. At a certain point, it's like, it would just save you in gas money if you just bought this on DVD. It's obviously a movie you or your kids watch.
We get DVDs at the library, too.
But there's no other place to get them now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to Blockbuster.
Yeah, and sometimes I just don't feel like... You know, there is something nice about looking through like a bunch of DVDs and picking one.
We used to have Curry Home Video around here. That was a fantastic place.
Oh, my God, I love that video store. I love that. They had everything there, yeah.
Yeah, that was what happened. If you opened a video store in, like, 1979 and never threw anything away, they still had the boxes that were, like, twice as big as the VHS tape inside.
And they couldn't, it was small, so they couldn't fit everything on a shelf. Mm-hmm. So everything was in they had a card catalog of movies there. And you could find basically, any type of shit they carried. They had Joe Piscopo specials. They had Smothers Brothers teaching you how to play blackjack. Lots of pro wrestling. Yeah, you had some pro wrestling there. And old movies and new. He had everything in this place.
Yeah, if you buy one of every movie that comes out, you have a complete library of everything. You never throw it away, but you can't make money renting movies nowadays.
It's a sushi place now.
Yeah.
My own video.
Yeah, I've gone to that sushi place.
You like that one?
I've been there.
It's average at best. I feel like if you're going to throw Curry Home Video out, put in a really good sushi place.
You know, they should have put in an Indian place. They could have still called it Curry.
Yeah, true. Yes.
So, our big story this week is on dinosaurs. I'm trying something a little different. Instead of something specific to this, the last week of January, first week of February, 1917, we're going to look at a year-long trend. So, I have a book here called Dinosaurs by the Decades, A Chronology of Dinosaurs in the Sciences by Randy Moore. This lists year by year everything that happened in the paleontological field.
Paleontological?
I still got it wrong. It's what Ross did on Friends.
Yeah, paleontologist. Paleontological field.
See now
it's hard. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
I think I had it right before.
Yeah, and I infected you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I passed on my bad pronunciation. So, here are a couple events from 1917, and then we are not done with dinosaurs. We have a special surprise for you for the tail end. Oh, that was such a good joke, and it just laid there. Tail end, because dinosaurs have tails.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't always have to call attention to the joke. Sometimes they can just be there.
No, I think it makes it a lot funnier if I stop the conversation and say, guys, I made a joke. I want a round of applause for that joke. I want you to comment on how good it was and pass it on to everyone else. Just like last week, how you were saying that when people stopped you to tell you jokes, that they're always great jokes and you use them in your act.
Constantly. Constantly. Yes. Please, do it to me more. Every time you see me.
Especially jokes about ethnic minorities. He loves it. He loves being told about that stuff. It's right up his alley. Okay, our first event in 1917. After 50 years of collecting fossils, Charles H. Steinberg laments, quote, I have seen my choicest treasures for 40 years leave my hands forever. To add to the glories of museums, I shall in all probability never see. I guess since he was living out in the field all the time in, like, the badlands of South Dakota, he didn't get to go to the museums around the world where his bones were. Mm-hmm. And this was in the years before they would make plaster casts of dinosaurs. Yeah.
I remember being so disappointed when I learned that these were often not, like, real bones.
Oh, dinosaurs. Yeah. Yeah, I felt the same way. Yeah. Like, why are we going to a museum in the first place? You said it's a bone, but it's not a bone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is no different than what's in the gift shop.
Right.
Actually.
Yeah.
I have toy dinosaurs at home that are as real as these dinosaurs here.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if you were told we're going to, like, you know, like, an amusement park, a Disneyland sort of thing, where you're going to see, like, fake dinosaurs come to life, okay. That's fine. But if you're told these are real dinosaurs and you see the real dinosaurs and then you look at the plaque and it says something like four of these bones are authentic, the rest are made up.
Yeah, there's a real femur.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is just bullshit.
Yeah. But I guess that's better than going and just seeing a femur and having to use your imagination to figure out the rest.
Yeah, I kind of wish they didn't tell me, though.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they just kept the scam going.
Right.
Or it's something like what kids believe.
Well, that I'm sure that's a popular urban legend, that when you go to see, like, the Mona Lisa, you're not actually seeing the Mona Lisa, you're just seeing a copy, because the real one is too fragile. They're not going to put it out for, you know, 100,000 people at the Louvre to watch every single day. Yeah. They're gonna keep it hidden. They have a copy up there. Oh, did you ever hear that story about the guy who stole the Mona Lisa?
No.
It may actually be true, or at least it's a true rumor, but I read about it as this unproduced screenplay that William Goldman wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And the screenplay was about a guy who steals the Mona Lisa when it's on tour around the world. And he finds a forger, and he asks the forger to make a copy of the Mona Lisa. And his idea is that he's going to give the fake back, and he's going to keep the real one.
Yeah.
And then he talks to, like, a mobster, someone who's rich and has a lot of money and doesn't have too many compunctions about buying hot art. And he tells him, look, you know the Mona Lisa's stolen. I have the Mona Lisa. I'm going to sell it to you. I'm going to give the fake back to the Louvre. You will know you have the real one. And the twist at the end is that he's talked to six different forgers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made six different copies of the Mona Lisa. And he sold them all to people who all think that they're fake.
Yes.
Yes. And then he gives another fake back to the museum. So he keeps the original.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he decided to get away with it. And no one can ever prosecute him because it's all hot art.
And this is something, like, an urban legend of what's actually happened.
I think it's an urban legend. I don't know if it's actually true. But saying that, like, of course you don't know if it's actually true, but I don't even know if it's an actual urban legend or if it's just a story he made.
There's no reason to let people that close to Mona Lisa. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That it should be somewhere guarded. Because I've seen the Mona Lisa.
So have I.
Yeah, yeah. They let you way too close to it than you should be.
There's a much better painting right on the other side, and I think they did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. Because you look at the Mona Lisa and it's like, it's mostly just people's heads. I can't get in there that close. And you turn around, it's like, wow, this thing's like 40 feet high and 80 feet long. I'm going to look at this instead.
Mm-hmm.
Got a dog in the corner. There's a drunk guy drinking wine.
Yeah, it's a way to just kind of, you know, tear down the line a little bit.
Yeah. Back to dinosaurs. Another 1917 event. Ellis Schuler of Southern Methodist University publishes the first studies of dinosaur tracks found at Glen Rose, Texas.
Did people know there were dinosaurs before this point?
This is why I'm really interested. People did know there were dinosaurs, but they didn't quite cut into evolution yet. So I think they still thought that, well, maybe these are dragons. Maybe we're just finding dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think other people thought, well, maybe God just put them there to prove that how good our sciences are, that you can see something that God has carbon dated.
Are your kids really into dinosaurs?
Not really. They never had a big dinosaur.
I think that's maybe more boys. My daughter's not like that either, or she's too young for it. But my nephew is way into dinosaurs. Like, he's one of those kids who will quiz you on dinosaurs when you go to the house. Like,
okay.
And mock you for not knowing as much as him.
I have a nephew like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I tell him, look, he's six. He's like, you know, hey, Bella. I'm like, look, you're talking about dinosaurs, buddy. You know what I am? I'm getting tail, okay? I don't waste my time on this dinosaur shit. I'm out getting tail.
So, what was your favorite dinosaur growing up?
The Brontosaurus, which isn't real anymore.
No.
Yeah. But, like, that's the thing with him is he knows all these dinosaurs. And I'm convinced that there's a lot more dinosaurs now than when you and I were kids.
Yeah.
When you and I were kids, there was a brontosaurus, which is no longer a
right. Thing. They put an apatosaurus head on a brachiosaurus body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the Tyrannosaurus Rex, which was not called a T-Rex when we were kids. That came later.
Yeah, that was like after T2 came out, and then Independence Day was called ID4, and then it's like, you couldn't just make up a movie. You needed to come up with a pre-sold nickname for the movie.
I thought it was just the band T-Rex.
It probably was that also. Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Then there was a Triceratops.
Uh-huh. That's my favorite.
Yeah, there was and I think that was it. That was only... Oh, no.
No, Stegosaurus.
Stegosaurus and Pterodactyl. There's five dinosaurs.
You've named the Dinobots.
Yeah.
You've named the Transformers Dinobots. those were the five.
Yeah, they only had five dinosaurs. And then they started adding more.
Yeah.
Over the years. And now was it they discovered them? Or they we can market some more. You know, they put out some toys, like some Allosaurus toys. But also, raptors. Raptors did not exist before...
No,
Jurassic Park.
Well, they were around, but they weren't popularized. We didn't know about them.
We have sports teams named after them now.
Yeah, but Canadian sports teams.
The first time I saw a raptor or even heard about it was in Jurassic Park.
Right.
I never heard the word raptor before.
But raptor also means a bird of prey.
Did you ever hear like of the dinosaur raptor?
No. And I didn't, when I read Jurassic Park before the movie and saw the word Velociraptor, I was like, that's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to be able to get that right. And now it just rolls off your tongue because it's part of popular culture.
Yeah. Raptors might be the most known dinosaur now.
It could be, yeah. Yeah, because they're like person-sized. You can't really get into a fight with an iguanodon, because an iguanodon is the size of a tree. You're not going to win that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even put that in the movie. They have you in a fight with a human-sized dinosaur.
I never even heard of an iguanodon before now.
You never did?
No.
Those are the ones with the big giant thumbs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're like Fonzie dinosaurs. They're always going, hey!
I've never seen an iguanodon.
Wow. Okay. Vinny's nephew. You got to school him about iguanodons next time he comes over. And then remember, just goad him about how he didn't know about it.
Mm, you're a nerd, kid.
Another 1917 event. 5 years after moving to British Columbia to work as a mining engineer with his two sons, Arthur Lakes, the first person to collect a dinosaur fossil from the Morrison Formation, dies. Well, that was depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really that big news, really. I can't.
No. 1917, 2 years before his death, Andrew Carnegie stops funding paleontology at CMNH and asks that the museum begin funding the work with money from a general fund. Although CMNH now own more than 500 specimens of dinosaurs, some of the original crates from the Carnegie Quarry remained unstudied.
There have to be some reason why he stopped the study, Like they found something he wasn't happy with, right?
Like it was all a ruse. Like he dropped his pocket watch somewhere on the train. And was like, just start digging. And then like 19 years later, sir, we found your watch. Like, thank the good Lord. Okay, dinosaur's over. Dinosaur's over.
Yeah, I think these bones burn them. Burn the bones.
Ooh, okay. We have a full-on new dinosaur. This is what I thought most of these were going to be. I didn't know there were going to be deaths of paleontologists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, let's edit that out. That wasn't even like fun bad.
No, that was just bad. Okay, 1917. Loris Lamb names Edmundosaurus, a 40-foot-long, 4-tongued duck-billed dinosaur discovered in Canada. Unlike Lambiosaurus, which I guess he also named after himself, Edmundosaurus did not have a crest on its head.
The Edmundosaurus?
Edmundosaurus.
Oh.
Because it was found in Edmonton.
Oh. I thought the guy's name was Edmund.
Oh.
Or no. Edwin, the Edwinosaurus.
Oh, hello! Oh, that was a bad
Edwin. That was a terrible
Edwin. And I actually have a somewhat credible Edwin.
Let's see how you go, huh? Hello, I'm Edwin. How's that?
Wait, was that you doing my bed, Edwin?
No, or
was
I'm Edwin.
That's not...
It's him.
It's better than mine, but it's not a credible Edwin.
I think I do a pretty good Edwin there. It's like Edwin's right here in the room.
You know, my problem is I do voices for my daughters when I'm reading books to them. But if I don't have a book in my hand and I don't have words, I can't produce any.
Well, next week I'm bringing the Edwin autobiography.
Please let it be called All I Do Is Win.
Yeah, it has to say win pun in there, right?
I guess you can't make an Ed pun.
I'm picturing, wouldn't it be great if the Edwin autobiography was just like tales of all the women he's been with?
You realize this is the second time Edwin has come up.
Yeah, like Edwin just like had like an affair with Ava Gardner or something.
Well, he did have a son. Really? I read a book about Disney history that Leonard Maltin wrote, and he had some...
Another weirdo.
He had a lot of bad things to say about Ed Wynn.
Really?
Yes.
There's somebody with an opinion on Ed Wynn, good and bad? Like...
Yes. Yes, because Ed Wynn's son was in a couple of movies, a couple of Disney films, and Ed Wynn was in some of them also, and Leonard Maltin had to point out that Ed Wynn was just phoning in his role, doing his regular Ed Wynn shtick, not trying hard.
What do you expect Edwin to do? Is there like Edwin wasn't going to stretch and pull like a De Niro in Raging Bull or anything like
this. He shows up at set like covered in tattoos.
Yeah,
like, jacked. What did you do? I wanted to be a real actor.
Nobody. I think you and I are the only ones who really know who Edwin is.
No, right? Kids know. Kids know because of Wreck-It Ralph. The bad guy in Wreck-It Ralph.
He does
Ralph.
Voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an Edwin impression.
They don't know Edwin.
No, they just know Uncle Albert from Mary Poppins.
I don't know. I don't even know if they know that.
Maybe they know the Mad Hatter.
I have to say, anytime I've tried to show my kids Edwin, Mary Poppins rather,
uh-huh.
I've tried to show Edwin, best of Edwin. they pretty much tap out after about a half hour.
Yeah. It's a long movie.
It is.
Like 2.5 hours long. One more 1917 dinosaur fact. While exploring the Big Bend region of Texas with Roland Byrd, Barnum Brown finds a heavily armored nodosaur that is later named Edmontonia rugosidens. This specimen from the late Cretaceous is now displayed at the American Museum of Natural History. So you can go to the American Museum of Natural History, see something from exactly 100 years ago. It is named not...
It's probably a lot of things at that museum that are 100 years old.
It is named not after Edmonton, Canada, but instead after the Edmonton Formation, now called the Horseshoe Cannon Formation, in which it is found. That seems like a bad idea.
That seems like... I don't get that sentence. What was that?
There's a bunch of dinosaurs called the Edmontonsaurus, because, we just talked about one of them. But there's another one called Edmontonia instead of Edmontonsaurus. Yeah. And it's named after an unrelated Edmonton.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Just exactly. How many different dinosaurs are you finding that you have to repeat names at this point? You know?
Right. Yeah, it's not hard to... Like, everyone wants a dinosaur named after them. There must have been, like, 20 people on the site. Just pick any one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or name it after your wife or girlfriend or daughter or dog. Or you don't need to name it after the place. It's just going to be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to open a sandwich shop, and I decided to call it Domino's Pizza. That's a bad name for a shop. People would think it's a Domino's Pizza shop. And I'd have to say, oh, no, it's sandwiches.
No, no, this one's different. I named it after the Van Morrison song. Right?
I'm imagining Van Morrison actually has a song called Domino's Pizza. Two more events in 1917, both dinosaur film related. One of them is that Windsor McKay releases Gertie on Tour, which is a sequel to the first hit cartoon, Gertie the Dinosaur.
This is the cartoon. I've seen this. It's just a dinosaur eating trees, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. And it's boring, but back at the time, it was amazing.
Well, because it existed. You either watched the dinosaur, or you watched the clown come out of an inkwell. Yeah. And those are the only cartoon characters, I think.
Now, there's another cartoon that came out this year, 1917, and we are going to watch it for you right now in an experiment that I don't know is going to work or not.
I'm already going with, but I haven't done this yet.
Yeah,
I'm already saying this is not going to work.
Okay. I am more optimistic. I think it will work. Now, what this experiment is the following. The cartoon is called The Dinosaur and the Missing Link, a Prehistoric Tragedy, made by Conquest Pictures, which I think was Thomas Edison's company. Mm-hmm. This is a podcast, and it's a silent film. So we can press play, but you won't hear anything. You won't see anything. We will see something. We won't hear anything. We will describe what we are seeing to you.
And then later on, we're going to have a link.
Yes. We'll put up the link and you can watch it.
What's the name of our, what's our site again?
The site is 1917podcast.com.
Okay.
I should have mentioned that earlier.
Yes. So what we'll do is so if you're driving, you know, you're out of luck here.
Yeah.
But,
and even if you're not, it may not be worth going back because we are going to try to capture the experience for you.
Okay.
Okay. So in baseball, there's a play-by-play man and a color commentary man. Do you want to do play-by-play or color commentary?
I'm thinking of myself more as the color commentator slash analyst, the John Madden to your Pat Summerall.
Okay. Cool. I was thinking I was going to be more of the Pat Summerall myself.
Mm-hmm. Right now we're actually putting on matching blazers, too.
we're going to stand up. That was how far I got with my Pat Summerall impression. The man is always standing up.
I'm standing up. That guy who stands all the time. Pat Summerall.
No, that's Rory Calhoun.
Oh, yeah, Rory Calhoun. That guy's always standing up.
If we leave that in, then it doesn't make any sense. But if we cut it out, it's like my favorite part of the podcast. Okay.
I go with leave it in.
Yeah.
I'm putting leave it in.
Okay. So, I'm going to count down from five. We're going to press play. I will play by play this. Vinny will do color commentary.
Okay.
We're watching The Dinosaur and the Missing Link, a prehistoric tragedy by Conquest Pictures. That's what the title slide says.
Mm-hmm.
I press play.
Later on, made the pro-Nazi propaganda films, of course.
First slide. Having procured a modest bouquet of cactus, the Duke prepares to call on Miss Araminta Rockface.
All right, then that's her. What's going on here?
That's a caveman. That's
a cavewoman.
No, he's bald and shirtless, and he's got a hairy chest. He fell down. He hit his head.
Oh, I thought it was a woman. I thought that was a skirt.
No, that's his little caveman loincloth.
Yeah,
he hit his head and he fell down. This is claymation animation, or it's like doll animation where they're posing dolls. Oh, next title slide. Mr. Rockface and his daughter Araminta in their drawing room of their country home. Okay, so it's jokes because it's not a country home.
Oh, okay.
It's the inside of a caveman house. The Duke discovers that his hated rival Stonejaw Steve has also come to call on Miss Rockface. This is like the Flintstones.
Yeah, and Rockface would definitely be a Flintstones.
Yeah.
Type name.
Yeah, they have stone jugs on the outside of this house. This looks nice. Mm-hmm. She's sweeping inside. There's a lot of talking, a lot of fast cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he fell down. It just looked like a toy doll fell down.
And by the wild gesturing I talked about in the last episode,
yeah,
kind of applies here, too. Yeah, what's going on here? What is that?
Oh, he's getting attacked by something, but it's so blurry you can't actually see.
Yeah.
There's five or six people on the stage now. In the midst of our argument, our unassuming hero, Theophilus Ivoryhead, arrives. Wait, the main character hasn't shown up yet?
Yeah. And also, I don't think of ivory as, like, you know.
Yeah.
As prehistoric.
Won't you come into the drawing room? I should offer you tea, but tea has unfortunately not yet been discovered. Okay, she's letting people in. We have two different shots. We're cutting back to the outside and the inside.
Yeah, so you don't realize that back then, that was actually the first joke that was ever made. Like, you know, we've discovered jokes. Can you get do you picture any jokes in the 1800s at all?
Wild Willie the Missing Link is a terror of the countryside. We've cut back to a very Kong-like gorilla.
Yeah. He was more like just an ape in general.
He's on a tree branch, but I can't get the relative size. Oh, and they've stopped animation just to wave the tree branch back and forth. Mm-hmm. That saved them a couple of minutes. Oh, it looks like he's trying to talk. Oh, they were just animated his tongue going out.
Mm-hmm.
He picked up a snake and he ate it. He's picking up other food.
It does look like, but it does remind me of Kong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is like King Kong style claymation animation.
Mm-hmm. Are you a King Kong fan?
Oh, yeah, I was. Now, the family is trying to rally to stop the gorilla, for lack of a better word. But the gorilla is now climbing up another tree branch. He hasn't done anything wrong. He just sort of exists, and they're going to try to kill him. If you young gentlemen want any dinner, you'll have to go out and get it. Duke, we shall depend on you at Stonejaw for the meat course. Theophilus, you may catch some fish. There's not much time before they get rid of the slide. Mm-hmm. I need to rush through reading it. I'm not getting much comprehension.
Yeah. Where'd he go? He's gone.
Yeah, the ape is gone. The hunters are looking. They've got bows and arrows, which looks pretty good. But these are all dolls, so they look like
arrows. A fine
dessert quail. They misspelled quail. Or no, they misspelled dessert.
I thought so. Yeah,
they said desert instead of dessert. Okay, so someone's aiming at a quail, but it just looks like a random bird. Random skinny turkey. The arrow takes about 12 seconds to fly through the air. Oh, and it hit someone in the butt.
And he's breakdancing. Look at
and
that.
And then they fell into a barrel, and the barrel is spinning around. And now I think she's supposed to feel bad, but she has no facial expressions, and she can't really be animated. And the squab is getting away from her. She's upset. She's maybe throwing up, but I can't tell.
Now that's a woman.
Yeah.
How do you not know? It's a hairy chest.
Wait, no, that's still a man. That's another man.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a boat ride now. Someone's in a canoe.
We're in a gondola, kind of.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and they're fishing, I think. But it's shot from so far away, you can't tell much detail about it. And there's...
Here's
the okay, answer. Dinosaurs.
Now, that would be a brontosaurus.
Yeah. Wild Willie decides to go down to the stream and catch a few snakes for his dinner. What? There's a lot of snake eating in this. Was snake eating a big thing back then?
I think it's what they knew about. They didn't know much about cavemen.
Oh, the missing link is here, and he has a dinosaur's tail, and he's going to try to eat it like a snake. That's the thing. The dinosaur doesn't seem to even notice that there's a missing link trying to eat
its tail. Like these cavemen really didn't need to be part of it.
No.
If the whole concept is a missing link trying to eat a dinosaur, and look, he's unable to do it. He's riding him here. I don't feel like these caveman characters, they seem, you know, extraneous. I think they could cut them.
Yeah. Yeah, just focus on the dinosaur and the missing link.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the dinosaur
if I was giving notes, that's what I would do right now.
The dinosaur has defeated the missing link, and the person in the canoe is now going over, poking at the missing link to see if it's alive or not, tentatively picking up the link's hand. More people are coming to check out the possibly dead missing link.
Are they going
to
eat the missing link, you think?
Oh, I think the link is alive. I don't think he's dead. I think he's just knocked out.
You know what they would make, right? Link sausage. Huh? Remember that, huh? How's that for a dad joke?
Oh, yes. A mere trifle. He irritated me and I was forced to kill him. Oh, this was the hunter who couldn't shoot the arrow and is now pretending that they killed the missing link. Wait, the end?
The end?
The end? That was it?
All right. Cavemen are looking for dinner.
And then the missing link fights a dinosaur and then gets killed by the dinosaur. Yeah. And then a caveman finds a dead Neanderthal and says, "Hey, I found dinner." So it ends with cannibalism. It's like cannibalism.
No, I don't think it... All right, because they're clearly more evolved than the link.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
So maybe if, like, once you... Like, a more evolved species, as always, gets to eat, you know... A lesser evolved species there. It's okay.
I don't think it's okay. If Neanderthals were around today, would you be okay eating a Neanderthal steak?
Yeah, they're less evolved. It's okay.
I bet they had human language. I bet they could talk. There are people nowadays
that missing link did not look like he was talking.
No, he didn't look like he was talking. He looked like a gorilla. But
These guys are much more evolved. They have a drawing room and everything.
We, as humans... We have an almost total ban on bushmeat, on eating apes. We don't eat apes or monkeys because they're too close to us.
But some people do. Don't you remember the Faces of Death?
I don't think Faces of Death was real. I don't think any part of Faces of Death was real.
Yeah, did you just watch Faces of Death?
I did not watch Faces of Death, but I bet that was at Curry Home Video.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. That's what kept them in business.
No, I remember being like, junior high age, and like, it's a boyfriend's house, and somebody get their hands on Faces of Death.
Which was the internet back in the 1990s.
Yeah. The internet was, I found Faces of Death. And, you know, you'd watch it, and it was one of the things they had was people eating a monkey. That was like a,
you know.
Now, I've heard a lot of Faces of Death stuff was faked. Some of it well faked, some of it terribly faked.
Yeah.
You could fake eating a monkey because it's just, you put a bunch of ham in the shape of a monkey and then say, oh, look at this.
Well, the monkey was alive in the beginning and they killed the monkey and then they eat it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I still remember the name of the guy who was the host of it. Dr. Francis B. Gross.
A guy named Dr. Gross?
Francis B. Gross.
And he's a doctor?
He's a doctor who hosts Faces of Death. He spent 10 years working on his dissertation and his thesis, and now he's hosting Faces of Death. Money well spent, I think. Do you think that's like there was a guy who only had like a BA and he was up for the job too, but that they went with the PhD?
Do you think he is like a doctor of divinity that it was like a mail away thing?
He's like, yeah, he's a reverend. True.
Or they just saw his name, or maybe they just decided this is going to be hosted by Dr. Francis Gross. Just find an actor and we'll call him Dr. Francis Gross.
No, Francis B. Gross.
Francis B. Gross.
I'm yes.
Part of me wants to just look up Francis B. Gross now to find out what that person is.
All right, quick, look him up. I know we've been saying we shouldn't look stuff up live on air. We're not really live, so it's okay.
He's a character. Oh, I feel so justified. Dr. Francis B. Gross is a character.
Oh, he even has the...
he's got an umlaut
over the O. Yeah. Like Ren Hoke.
His real... The actor's name is Michael Carr. Oh, I feel so justified. Wow, damn. Faces of Death is from 1978?
Yeah, they made a lot of them.
I always assumed that they were recent. Like, I didn't hear about it until, like, 89 or 90. And I assumed that it was made a year or two beforehand.
By the time we were getting our hands on them, there's already, like six or seven of them.
You know, I think I also...
Eventually, Francis B. Gross left the franchise.
And went to Golden Palace,
yeah,
right?
There's a, they had, like, a replacement guy. I don't remember the replacement guy. He wasn't as good. I don't like him, really. He's the Vance McCoy of Faces of Death.
The Grady. I think I was thinking of Faces of Death kind of like an unofficial compilation of death stuff that wasn't actually released. I bought a video that was called Jet Li Kung Fu Crazy. This was not an authorized video. This was someone took a bunch of Jet Li fight scenes and just put a wall-to-wall Nine Inch Nails soundtrack on. Mm-hmm. And it was the best thing in the world to watch when I was in high school.
That sounds like fun, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. It was him in Once Upon a Time in China and some police movies I didn't know anything about. And it was just ladder fights. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You regret not having this...
I may have it downstairs still.
Really?
But I don't have a VCR anymore. Uh-huh. I just have the Jet Li Kung Fu Crazy.
If you found, all right, let's say you found the video.
Uh-huh.
You don't have a VCR anymore.
Yeah.
Would you actually go try to buy a VCR just so you could watch this video?
Maybe I would, because they're cheap. They're only like 20, 30 bucks, right?
Can you buy them still?
I think you can get them if they're mixed in with a DVD player.
Okay, yeah.
Or you just go to any garage sale.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet at the garage sale, someone's going to sell it for like $75 and they think it's a collector's item.
You know what? All right, here's what you have to find this, because I think I might have an old VCR in my house.
Ooh.
Somewhere.
Okay. And in which case, I need to go down to a big tub in the basement and see if I can find Jet Li Kung Fu Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very enjoyable. Ooh. I want to see if this is like... It was just like one guy at the back of the comic book store who decided to make this and label it.
Bro, I haven't seen this movie, but all right, I'm going to bet that Crazy spelled with a K. No, huh?
Shoot. No. No, but this makes me feel better that Jet Li Kung Fu Crazy was not actually like a brand name, like an official mixtape. Mm-hmm. It was just the work of one artist.
Yeah.
One remix artist.
Did he spell it with a K?
Nope, with a C.
Really?
Yes.
I think it would be like... What you would do, because you had the K from Kung.
Yeah, but once you get two Ks and you're dangerously close to getting three Ks...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a Kung Fu, you know?
No, you don't want to have anything that looks like KKK, so you stay away from just multiple K sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means that you got to start spelling things with a C.
I think that's really been the downfall of Kevin Klein.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if his middle name was K, that could have tanked his career.
Keith, yes.
Yeah. Kevin Keith Klein. Unhirable. Terrible in comedies, terrible in dramas, terrible anywhere.
Terrible because... in monogram shirts.
Especially terrible in monogram shirts. We are going to talk about the year in dams.
Dames, eh?
Dams.
Dams, okay.
Dams. But dams sounds like dames. I actually didn't tell you about this, but I'm glad you said that, because the quiz is dam or dame.
All right.
I'm going to give you a name, and you're going to tell me if this was a dam that was built in 1917 or a silent movie actress who has been forgotten in the modern era.
I didn't realize that's where you were going, because I thought for sure there'd be a Dame Edna joke somewhere in here.
No, but if you think about the old film stars, like Greta Garbo, I've never seen a Greta Garbo movie, but she's the only one I know. But if you hadn't heard of Greta Garbo, you wouldn't necessarily think that was the actress's name. You would just think, well, that's the name of something.
Yeah.
I've heard of that. I don't know what that is.
Is there any other song? Oh, Clara Bow. Is Clara...
She's not on this list.
Okay.
So she's not dam or dame.
Okay.
Well, she is a dame, but... Mm-hmm. Okay. The quiz begins. Marie Doro. Is that a dam or is that a dame?
Dame.
Dame, correct. Bottle Casa.
Dam.
Dam, correct. A dam in India. Theda Bara.
Dame.
Yes, Theda Bara is a dame. That was a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Don Rowell.
Dame?
Nope. Don Rowell was another dame from India. There were two Indian dames. Or two Indian dames.
I thought you said Dawn.
No. Don. D-H-A-N.
Oh, yeah. Dawn Knotts. Dame Dawn Knotts, the acclaimed actress.
Key Chalice. Key Chalice.
Dame.
Damn.
Damn.
It was a damn. Malvinia Longfellow.
Dame.
Dame, correct. Wissota.
Damn.
Damn. You are correct. Sigrid Holmquist.
Dame.
Dame. Okay, last one. You ready?
Yes.
The Stevenson Dam Hydroelectric Plant.
Dam?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The fact that dam in the name was a clue that it was, in fact, a dam, not a silent film actress. That concludes this week's podcast of 100 Years Ago Today, the 1917 podcast.
Why can't you get the name of our show right?
Why can't you get the name of the show right?
It's still this week.
It's this day.
This week.
Either way, you can find us at the 1917...
Or just go with 100 Years Ago.
Okay. The website is 100 Years Ago...
1917 Podcast.
The website is 1917podcast.com. The email address is 1917podcast@gmail.com. Until next week, ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy.